Let's pray as we prepare to open God's Word together. Father, today we're so thankful to you for all that you've done for us. As we are in this time of thanksgiving, we just ask that you would direct us, that you would guide us today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This time of year would not be nearly as special if it weren't for the patient persistence of a woman named Sarah Hale. When we think about Thanksgiving, we know that the first Thanksgiving Day was celebrated back in 1621. The pilgrims were giving thanks for their first winter in the New World. In 1789, President George Washington issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation to commemorate the first pilgrim celebration. But then Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, discontinued it, calling Thanksgiving a kingly practice. After that, some individual states celebrated Thanksgiving, but it was certainly not a nationwide practice. And then in 1828, Mrs. Hale began campaigning for restoration of Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Now, as a side note, Mrs. Hale is also known for something else. If you've ever sung the little song, Mary Had a Little Lamb, she wrote it. But she began campaigning, writing to presidents. She wrote to four presidents, Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan. Time after time, she received those letters. Thank you for writing, but the idea is impossible. The idea is impractical. Sometimes it was dismissed with a "this is none of your business" type of comment. But then we come to the year 1863. Thank you. The Civil War is going on. And President Lincoln received this letter. It's hard to read even on a good screen. But it was written by Mrs. Hale to President Lincoln with the plea that North and South perhaps could lay aside their enmities. President Lincoln thought about this, and he gave the proclamation that the fourth Thursday of November was to be the official National Thanksgiving Day. It was actually ratified by the U.S. Congress in 1941, many years later. And so we have Thanksgiving. But the question that we need to ask today is, what is really the significance of Thanksgiving? If you were to be celebrating right now the ultimate Thanksgiving, what would it look like? So I'd like for us to start the picture. You are there sitting at a table. There are others there as well. This is the ultimate Thanksgiving. What is taking place? What's going on? In order to really understand this, we need to look to Jesus. Because really, Jesus is the one that teaches us what the ultimate meaning of life truly is. We're going to be looking at four texts today. The first one is John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. We find ourselves sitting on a grassy hillside. There are approximately 15,000 to 20,000 people there. Scripture tells us that there were 5,000 men besides women and children. We're just close enough to be able to see somebody walk up to Jesus with a little basket. And in that little basket, there are 5 loaves and 2 fish. A little boy's lunch. And we see Jesus take that basket in his hands. And we see a smile on his face as he looks up. And as he begins to speak, it's very clear that the one he's talking to is somebody he's talked to many times before. As he reaches up with that little basket and he begins thanking his Heavenly Father for what he has in his hands. And we start wondering, well, why is he so excited about that little basket? And then we watch as he begins taking from that little basket loaves and fish, and he begins handing them to his disciples, and they just keep on coming. And pretty soon, everybody around is being fed from that little basket that Jesus held in his hands. And suddenly we realize why Jesus was so thankful for that little basket. Because you see, when Jesus looked in that basket, he didn't see how little was there. He saw how much his Father could provide. And he was thankful because he knew his Father was all about providing for the needs of his children. We're going to go to our second Thanksgiving meal. This is found in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 26 and 27. We find ourselves at that first communion service. Jesus is sitting there with his disciples. And I'll tell you, I was really struck as I read this past week. Matthew 26, verse 26 says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave it thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." What really struck me as I read this past week was the realization of what he was thanking his Heavenly Father for. What did that cup represent? It represented the blood he was about to shed. The bread, that represented his broken body. And as I really thought about it, I realized it was almost as though Jesus had before him the very nails and the very crown of thorns, which he was about to experience on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus was thanking his Father for what lay in his hands. And I began asking myself the question, why was Jesus giving thanks for that blood he was about to shed? Why was Jesus giving thanks for the body that was about to be broken? And I realized that the reason Jesus was giving thanks was he cared about you and he cared about me. He cared about his disciples. His priority in life was saving people. And if it meant shedding his blood, if it meant the breaking of his body, for Jesus, he was thankful that he could do that because he knew it would provide for the salvation of his people. And for Jesus, thanksgiving was praising his Father for anything and everything that his Father was using to bring about the happiness of his children. And so he's given thanks because his faith is so strong in his Father's will that he knows that no matter what lies ahead, his Father is going to work all things together for good, for the happiness of his children. And so we go to the next Thanksgiving meal. It's the second table fellowship. We find this in Luke chapter 24. We find ourselves privileged to join Jesus in a little home in the town of Emmaus. Now, since that last meal we've experienced, Jesus has gone to the cross. Jesus has hung there, seemingly forsaken by his heavenly Father. We have heard that cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not a cry of doubt, but simply his expression of, I don't understand, and yet I'm trusting you to carry me through this experience. Jesus has died. He has been laid in the grave. But praise God, at this point in the story, he is now risen. And he is, prior to arriving at this home, he has been walking with two of his followers. And as he has walked with them, they have no idea who he is. And they are completely discouraged. Because everything that they thought was going to happen has not. Everything they didn't expect to have happen has happened. They have watched the one who they had trusted had been their Messiah die. And their hopes had died with him. But now, Jesus is walking with them. And Jesus has begun taking them on a journey through Bible prophecy. And he has begun showing them that all of the events that have taken place have been in a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And they have been fascinated with the Bible study. They have been inspired as they have heard this step-by-step description that helped them to understand that prophecy could give them courage. They had come to their doorstep, and as they had arrived there, they had urged this stranger to come in and stay with them that night. Because they had invited them, he came into their home. And so we watch as he sits down at that table. And he reaches out and he takes the bread that's on the table and he lifts it up and he begins the thanksgiving to his Father for what his Father has provided. And as he voices his thanksgiving, he voices his praise and gratitude to God, suddenly his two followers realize that the one that has come, the one that has walked with them, the one that has talked to them, the one that has helped them to understand is Jesus himself. And we suddenly realize that the understanding of Scripture provides us with a very solid foundation that prepares us for a relationship. But it is as we experience gratitude, as we come into the presence of Jesus and actually get caught up in praise, that we actually realize that powerful relationship with Jesus Christ that Jesus wants us to have. And so, we come to our final Thanksgiving meal. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. John seeing in vision. He says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That marriage supper of the Lamb. That very real table meal with Jesus. As I think about it, I really do not believe that this meal is very far in the future. I want you to look ahead with me, whether it be a year or a few years, to the day when we will be standing on this earth and we look off on the horizon and we see this small cloud forming. We are surrounded by enemies. But as we look and we see that cloud on the horizon, we realize that our troubles are gone. It comes closer and closer, and we see it turns from a dark cloud to a brilliant cloud. And finally, it comes close enough so that we can see the face of Jesus. And we realize that he has come to take us home. We hear a trumpet sound, and suddenly we see our loved ones that have been laid in the grave brought back to life. And then suddenly there is this secure and wonderful feeling as we glance down and realize that our feet have left this earth. We realize that we have been caught up together with our loved ones to meet our Lord in the air. And we begin our journey from earth to heaven. It's a wonderful journey as we interact with people, as we experience the joy of new life and vibrancy. We finally reach the New Jerusalem and we see those gates swing open. We receive the tokens of our victory, those crowns. And then we have those harps placed in our hands. And we find ourselves skillfully joining in the praise to God. And then we see the table. And that table is unlike anything we've ever seen before. It goes for miles. And yet, amazingly enough, we can easily see from one end of that table to the other. Its spread is unlike anything we've ever seen before. The food is amazing. And what is really special is that there is a place at that table for us, personally. Jesus has taken the time to make that place setting something special. And we find ourselves, and this is so real, we'll find ourselves sitting there at that table, looking around and realizing we're home. What makes this meal so special? You know, the setting is incredible, beyond anything we could ever imagine. The food, it's amazing and guilt-free. But really, what makes this so special is the hands and the heart of the one that has prepared it for us. That aspect, the love of Jesus that has made this possible, is so amazing that even if he had put a picnic table there and put sandwiches on top of it, it wouldn't have really detracted from the experience. Because we are there with Jesus. The food has come from his hand and it symbolizes his love for us. As we begin eating that meal, The food simply is a illustration of the incredible nature of the love of Jesus Christ for us. You know, I'm looking forward to that meal. I'm looking forward to that time as we sit there and we realize in awe and wonder that the grace of Jesus Christ has brought us to this place. But it is my conviction that God does not want us to wait. Whether it is this coming Thursday at a Thanksgiving table, or whether it's this afternoon when you sit down to a meal, I would encourage you, as you sit down, to think about the goodness of God that has brought you to where you are. Think about the love of the people that have made it possible for you to have a meal. And as I think about that, you know, you could sit down at that meal and the potatoes might not have gotten any salt. The sugar could have been left out of the pie. And you know, it wouldn't matter. It would not put a damper on the spirit and the joy of spending a meal together. Because we would realize what really matters is not the food. It's the people. And it's the God who has made all of this possible. What makes Thanksgiving truly Thanksgiving is a realization that the grace of Jesus Christ has opened the way. It's the realization that God has made it possible for us to experience life today, and He has opened the way for us to experience eternal life in the future. And so we've looked at four meals. We've realized as we sat on that mountain that Jesus Christ is able to provide beyond what we could ever imagine. We've looked at that communion meal and we've realized that because of Jesus, even the trials we might have to go through are blessings, because God is working all things together for good. And that means we don't need to fear the future. We have sat with Jesus in that little town of Emmaus, and we have realized the joy of thanksgiving and how, as we praise God, we suddenly experience a relationship that we could not otherwise experience. And now we're looking forward to that table in heaven, that table where we will fully realize what the grace and the goodness of God has done for each one of us. I'd like to invite our music team to come and join me, because all that's really left for us to do is to praise God for His goodness, to thank Him for all that He has done for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for all that You have done for us. We thank You for a reminder that we can live in continual praise to You. Lord, we ask that You would help us to set aside our doubts, to set aside our fears, and simply to look to You. We thank You for opening up to us the future that You have for us. We ask that You will help us to walk with You today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.